WWV. WWV for the time of your life. We'll be back with the time on WWV in just a minute, but first, here's another minute. WWV, all the time, all the time. Same time, same station, every time. WWV. 1, 2, 3, 4. Every second counts at WWV. For a good time, call 555-4-WWV. WWV, for the time of your life.
In the music, I was, well, one, I started late, and then two, I had to play a song as I walked through the office and out to the garage. Got a new somebody else taking their lunch space time out here on the roof, so I'll do my best. Jump over here and look at Calm. Oh, I'm sorry, X1. Was the volume crazy? If the volume's crazy, let me know. I do have a small miniature mixer kind of thing. The app has three sliders: music, sounds, and microphone. And right now I have microphone at 90% and sounds at 56 and music's at 15. And then whenever I play a song, it flips over to sorry, I had to flip it back. It was music is at 50 and sounds are at 50. And then mic is at 0. So those are the settings I get. All right. Right on. So glad to be here. And howdy to everyone in Calm, X1, and Gerbil Fat, Bob Jonkman, and the Stug, and everyone else that's around. We have a little bit of news. I'm here, obviously I'm late, so we did get the music out of the way at least, but we got to talk about our world news, because there's a lot going on. The most important big world news story that, unfortunately, I grabbed this, I downloaded my news shortly before this became fact, so I'm going to go to the live source, but Kenya has a new president-elect. Let me pull up the story here. William Ruto is, oh, come on. BBC is trying to be very cool and hip and make me click on advertisements. But anyway, William Ruto wins the presidential election. Deputy President William Ruto has been declared the winner of Kenya's presidential election amid dramatic scenes. He narrowly built his rival, Raila Odinga, taking 50.5% of the vote, according to the official results. The announcement was delayed amid scuffles and allegations of vote rigging by Mr. Odinga's campaign. Four of the seven members of the Electoral Commission refused to endorse the result, saying it was opaque. We cannot take ownership of a result that is going to be announced because of the opaque nature of this last phase of the general election, said Juliana Sharara, the vice chairperson of Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or the IEBC. That's the groups that have been counting the votes and everything. We're going to give a comprehensive statement, and again, we urge Kenyans to keep calm, she added. So that's the kind of the gist of it. There were allegations of irregularities and mismanagement during the election. This was the first time Mr. Ruto, age 55, had run for president. He served as deputy president for 10 years, but fell out with President Uhuru Kenyatta, who backed Mr. Odinga to succeed him. The 77-year-old prime minister, who got 48.8% of the vote, was running for president for the fifth time. Electoral Commission Chairman Wafula Chebukati said he had done his duty despite receiving threats. "We've walked the journey of ensuring that Kenyans get a free, fair, and credible election. Not been an easy journey. Right now, two of my commissioners and the CEO are injured," he said. In his speech, President-elect Ruto thanked the Electoral Commission for overseeing the election. "It's a wonderful evening. All sovereign power belongs to the people of Kenya," Mr. Ruto said, calling Mr. Chebukati a hero and dismissing the other commissioners' dissent of his win as a sideshow. Mr. Ruto said he wanted to be a president of all and for the country to focus on the future. "For those who have done many things against us, I want to tell them there's nothing to fear. There will be no vengeance. Do not have the luxury to look back," he added. So I wanted to be sure and mention that story first because it's pretty cool. It's a big important thing. Kenya is pretty important for the east of Africa. And so anyway, and if there's any stability in Africa is a big thing we need. So I thought it was pretty cool. Hey, Tin, welcome. DJ Tin from Berlin. Thank you for being here in the third year. Fun show. All right, so that's the big, oh boy, we gotta be sure and talk about that kind of story. There's a lot of other stuff happening, though. Motorcycles and such around here, too, though. I don't know if you can hear the motorcycles or the wind that comes with them, but that's what's going on. Let's go over here. Oh, hey, Calm, by the way. Was DGC available on the weekend? I want to know if I should advertise them. And let's go ahead here and let's talk about some news real quick. Bloop. First up. If you want to check out, if you want to see any of these stories later, or if you'd like to see the bookmarks and read the stories yourself later, you can go to tx0.org, tix0, tangoxray0.org. /170. That's just the number is 170. tx.org/170. That'll get you to my one tab of the stories that we're reading today. All right. So we're still in Africa. Egyptians are mourning 41 killed in a Cairo Coptic church fire. Funerals have been held in two Cairo churches for 41 victims of a fire that ripped through a Coptic Christian church during Mass, forcing worshippers to jump out of windows. The blaze on Sunday, blamed on an electrical fault, hit the Abu Sufyan Church in a densely populated Mbaba, a working-class district west of the Nile River, part of the Giza governorate in Greater Cairo. Hundreds gathered to pay their respects in and around the two Giza churches on Sunday evening, where clergymen prayed for the victims. Pallbearers pushed through crowds of weeping mourners who reached for the coffins, including that of a priest at the church, Father Abdel Massa Beckett. The Egyptian Coptic Church and the health ministry reported 41 dead and 14 injured in the blaze before emergency services brought it under control. Witnesses to the fire on Sunday morning described people rushing into the multi-story house of worship to save those trapped, but the rescuers were soon overwhelmed by the heat and deadly smoke. Copts are the largest Christian community in the Middle East, making up at least 10 million of Egypt's 103 million Muslim majority population. Everyone was carrying kids out of the building, Ahmed Reda Bayomi, who lived next to the church, told the AFP. But the fire was getting bigger, and you could only go in once, or you would asphyxiate. Sorry, my buddy left. I guess I heard something. I heard some, it sounded like a door, and I looked, and my friend was gone. So, we are back alone on the roof. Alone on the roof again. So they're mourning that death there. Australia's ex-prime minister secretly held ministry portfolios. Australian PM Anthony Albanese says he will investigate reports that his predecessor, Scott Morrison, secretly assumed three roles in the ministry. Mr. Morrison became joint minister for the health, finance, and resource portfolios in the 2 years before he lost power in May, local media reporting. Mr. Albanese said he would seek legal advice about the decisions, calling them unacceptable and just weird. The former prime minister has declined to comment. On Monday, Governor General David Hurley, the Queen's representative in Australia, confirmed he had signed an administrative instrument that had allowed Mr. Morrison to secretly take on the portfolios. It was consistent with Section 64 of the Constitution, a spokesperson said. Mr. Albanese, law experts, and Mr. Morrison's former colleagues have criticized the secrecy. Even some ministers were reportedly not aware they were sharing portfolios with the former prime minister. This is the sort of tin pot activity that we would ridicule if it was a non-democratic country, Mr. Albanese told reporters on Monday. When asked to respond to Mr. Albanese's comments, Mr. Morrison said he wasn't aware of them. Since leaving the job, I haven't engaged in any day-to-day politics, he told Sky News. Mr. Morrison's deputy from June 2021, Barnaby Joyce, said he did not have prior knowledge of the appointments. So, it's true. You can never be alone when you're in comm. But in comm, they can't hear you cry. Very true. So it's kind of this guy assumed these roles. No official, official, like, word. They say he held these roles, and people think it's kind of weird that they'd be so secretive. This is, another article here says, this is weird. That's what Mr. Albanese and a number of constitutional experts have said about the reports. There are so many questions, and you'd be forgiven for being confused. No one is sure who knew what when. It'd be normal for a leader to make sure that someone can step up and do the job if the minister is incapacitated, especially at the height of the pandemic. But there are many ways of doing this. Why did it have to be him? And more crucially, why the secrecy? So, my wind's getting me. But essentially, yeah, it's like, why is the prime minister wearing four hats when they could have probably found somebody to fill in? It's not like these are impossible to fill roles or anything. We've got about 11 minutes to go. So I just want to mention here that today is a day that ends in Y. And every damn day at 1930 UTC on and on radio, we do get the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So stick around for that. It's coming up soon. And then Harry Larry will be here at 20 hours, 2000. And we should have Mix Remix. You can also press equal sign in comm or just go to anonradio.net if you want to see more of the schedule. There's always a lot going on, or almost always. If you see an empty spot, send an email or go post on B-Board, and we'll get you set up with a slot so that you can broadcast. All right. poor gerbil fat. Don't cry. So that's what's going on. We're going to jump back over here. Trapped Mexico miners set back as water levels rise. Attempts to rescue 10 men from a flooded 10, number 10, 10 men, from a flooded mine in Mexico has been delayed after the water levels in three shafts rose suddenly on Sunday. You know, sometimes your water levels just rise suddenly. The miners became trapped on August 3rd when a wall in a tunnel collapsed and water from an adjacent chamber gushed into the three shafts. Officials say the water has dropped to a depth of 1.5 meters, 5 feet, to allow rescuers to enter the shaft safely. But on Sunday, it suddenly rose again to more than 20 meters. The governor of Coahuila State, where the coal mine is located, said the water was probably flowing into the shafts from a nearby disused mine. Governor Miguel Riquelme said engineers were trying to find the source of the leak so they can block it. More than 200 million liters have been pumped from the shaft so far, but the rescue work has been hampered by a number of setbacks. Last week, a special underwater drone carrying a camera was lowered into one of the shafts. Relatives of the miners had hoped the drone would provide them with long-awaited news on their loved ones, from whom there's been no sign of life since the accident 12 days ago. The drone failed to reach the depth at which the miners are believed to become trapped. There are a great number of solid obstacles and turbulence in the water, which make visibility very limited. These are not conditions in which we can send in search and rescue teams. Relatives of the 10 trapped miners again expressed frustration and anger at the slow pace of the rescue effort, and at what they said was a lack of communication. We want them to tell us what is happening, if they've identified the places where the water is coming in, and why. A member of miner Sergio Cruz's family told Reuters. Priests in the area have been saying prayers for the miners' rescue. So, we'll see how that goes. pseudo-handkerchief for 10. But yeah, not looking so hot in Mexico, those guys, poor miners there. Salman Rushdie is out of the hospital. You may have seen that. He got stabbed in the neck. But he's getting out of the hospital, so it'll be fine. He'll be okay. Ukraine hits Russian Wagner mercenary HQ. Ukrainian artillery has struck a headquarters of Russia's shadowy Wagner paramilitary group, a group of mercenaries in eastern Ukraine, reports say. The attack in Popasna was reportedly by Serhiy Heyday, Ukrainian governor of Luhansk region, and several pro-Kremlin war reporters. The number of casualties is not clear, and details remain sketchy. Photos said to show the damage were posted on Telegram. Wagner has been linked to war crimes. The group was deployed to Crimea and Ukraine's Donbass region in 2014. Wagner units have also been sent to Syria, Libya, Mali, and the Central African Republic. The Kremlin doesn't acknowledge Wagner's existence, but Western intelligence links the group to Yevgeny Prigozhin, nicknamed Putin's chef, because his catering business has long helped President Vladimir Putin in the armed forces. Mr. Prigozhin, like many other Russian officials, is under Western sanctions. Wagner is known as a PMC, private military company, but they are state-sponsored mercenaries who act in the Kremlin's interests. They've been accused of repeated war crimes and human rights abuses. So, striking out at them. 10 pointing out, apparently a Russian journalist accidentally gave their position away. I'd love to see a story about that. That'd be pretty fun to read. But yeah, that's what's going on in the war right now. In Tunisia, former birthplace, you know, was where the Arab Spring started. And it's kind of where it's dying. It kind of is dying. The president there kind of becoming a totalitarian ruler. Or trying to. But that doesn't stop the wheels from turning. More than 200 migrants were rescued and others intercepted this weekend by the Tunisian maritime and military authorities while trying to reach Europe by crossing the Mediterranean Sea. Between Sunday and Monday night, units of the Maritime Guard of the North, Center, and South Coast have managed to thwart 10 attempts to cross the border and rescued 156 people, said the National Guard. Among these 156 migrants, the authorities identified 102 nationals of sub-Saharan African countries, the other 54 being Tunisians. Also on Sunday, the National Navy rescued 42 Egyptians in front of the Kerkenna Archipelago, which is Central East, who left the previous night from the Libyan coast, said AFP Mohamed Zekri, spokesman for the Ministry of Defense. After sinking of their boat, they had taken refuge on an oil platform in the southeast of the archipelago. The previous weekend, a boat carrying 30 Tunisian migrants had sunk in the same area, but only 20 were saved. In addition, on Friday night, the police permitted another attempt to leave by a family of 15 people, including 5 women and 4 young children. And they just go on and on with the number of people that are trying to escape. People were paying money. In the spring and summer, with the help of milder weather, attempts to immigrate illegally to Europe tend to increase. So yeah, it's pretty rough. It's going to just keep on getting there, but worse and worse. Hey, welcome to Tobe, the almighty chairman. Thank you for being here. Always a pleasure to see you. Well, we're going to run low on time, so I'll just tell you a couple of cool stories real quick, or kind of cool. In Shanghai, IKEA shoppers flee attempt to lock down store. So you might remember those. There was a trend for a while where people would try and stay in IKEA as long as they could to see how long they could live there before they got caught. Well, this is kind of the opposite thing. There were chaotic scenes at an IKEA store in Shanghai on Saturday, with shoppers trying to escape as authorities tried to quarantine them. Health officials were attempting to lock the store in Shuhui District down as a customer had been in close contact with a positive case. Videos show the guards closing the doors at one point, but a crowd forced them open and made their escape. Shanghai endured a severe two-month lockdown earlier this year. Since then, in line with the country's strict zero-COVID strategy, the city of 20 million people has ordered flash lockdowns of areas where positive cases or their close contacts have been detected. Many have been locked down in unusual locations, including hot pot restaurants, gyms, and offices. The IKEA store's sudden shutdown was ordered because a close contact of a six-year-old boy who tested positive after returning to Shanghai from Lhasa in Tibet had visited. Shanghai Health Commissioner Deputy Director Zhao Dandan said on Sunday. So, can you just imagine the scene? You're shopping at IKEA. You're walking along, just following the arrows, going the way you're supposed to. You're looking at couches. And then all of a sudden, you just see everybody running their ass off to the door. And it's like, oh no, we're going to get locked down. What's the last one that'll be fun? Here's one of just idiocy how brilliant people that are running our government are. Marjorie Taylor Greene mocked for suggesting solar and wind energy don't work at night. Marjorie Taylor Greene suggested that solar and wind don't work at night, prompting online mockery. The Georgia Republican was speaking in front of an audience when she suggested that if the U.S. takes measures to move to the use of more renewable energy, including wind turbines and solar panels, it would lead to fridges, washing machines, and air conditioners becoming unusable. She appeared to suggest that electric lights would only work during the day and that there wouldn't be sufficient power for all the appliances in a modern home. Thank God for air conditioning. Let's talk about refrigerators. I personally like my refrigerator. I know you all like yours. What about washing machines and dryers? She just goes on and on. I'm going to be really pissed off about that. I mean, how absurd is this? I like the lights on. I want to stay up later at night. I don't want to have to go to bed when the sun sets. So silly. I mean, all of this is insane. The Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy states on its website that the United States is a resource-rich country with abundant renewables. The amount available is 100 times that of the nation's annual electricity need. You can't leave IKEA quickly. I'm glad you guys know this. All right. Well, we would do another story, but we're going to run out of time, and the Dubious Goals Committee is coming up. So please stick around for that. And thanks for being here. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully on time. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.